Uncommon is a production by Neural, a full-service digital agency. If you want to grow with a premium agency and have the ability to work with Jordan directly, then learn more at neural.com/media and request a callback. That's neural.com/media.
My name's Jordan Michaelides, and I'm the host of Uncommon, a show that asks the why on business, media, current affairs, and sport. Uncommon Corona Edition sees us catching up with prior guests to document how they're adapting during this once-in-a-lifetime pandemic. If you like the episode, do leave a written review on your podcast app, as it does help us continue what we're doing. Don't forget that there's plenty of past episodes to keep you entertained at home. Show notes are below. You can also find all previous guests at neural.com/uncommon. That's neural.com/uncommon. For the full video, just search Uncommon Show on YouTube. And for social, to keep up to date with behind the scenes, search at uncommon_show. With that being said, let's get into the episode. My guests this week, you all should know them by now. They've all done previous episodes. If you don't, then fuck, look in the episode links. But we've got Neil, Cole Hatcar, Luke Kidgel, and Lewis Spears. Gents, thanks for doing this isolation session.
No worries, thanks, man. You might have to rename the podcast Uncommon. We're getting pretty common, all these guests returning.
We're sort of in a bit of a pickle, right? It's like, what do we do while we're all restricted in doing these fucking remote podcasts? Do we do new guests? And we basically decided on, okay, let's revisit what everyone is doing with their life now that all this shit's happening in their different industries. But it's working out so far, I guess. It's just shit. I think we were originally going to do an in-person podcast with the four of us anyway.
It would have been we had this booked in a while ago.
Yeah, a long time ago.
That new studio you got in the background looks real nice. It's definitely all changed since we last came in.
Yeah, we got rid of the table. So it would have just been like the four of us sitting back on that wall there, which is a pity. But
looks a lot better than all of our setups. Even yours right now looks better than all of ours. Mine's, I've got a curtain behind me. Neil's recording in the sun.
See, I'm just blatantly offended because this is my actual podcast setup behind me, yeah, Luke, which means it just looks shit all the time.
Now, speaking of shit setups, how's Frankston, Lewis?
Mate, it's fucking great. I feel like I'm at home. I'm around my people. I fit in. It's great. It's the best. I'm in a nice part of Frankston, though.
Did you just recently move out?
Yeah, I just moved out, 26 years old, finally out of mum's house. You know, I'm moving out, moving up, moving straight down into Frankston.
It's funny, good. Like, your morale is currently as high as the crime rate, which is really fucked up. Man, shouldn't be that happy about living there.
Honestly, it's awesome. I'm surrounded by my people. Everyone, I get so many good looks of my shoes. I'm like, when a guy down the local shops looks at your shoes and you see them, consider, should I rob this man in daylight? You go, fuck, I made a good choice when I got these Nikes, huh?
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So what, apart from that, Lewis, you were sick over the last 4 weeks. You were a bit sick for a while. What else has been happening in your life?
Man, I'm living my best life. Honestly, this isolation shit, everyone's complaining about it. Oh, I miss my friends. I miss going out. I'm in my element, dude. I'm reading. I'm making videos. I think my social life, my social interaction has actually peaked. This is the most social I've ever been, because all of my other friends are absolutely desperate to connect with anyone. I'm FaceTiming every day. This is the most I've ever talked to somebody that isn't a lens in my life.
I like that. Apart from painting.
That's just sad.
I was just thinking, like, Lewis's day is just like get up, eat, do some exercise, paint some toys, make some content.
They're miniatures, bro. It's art.
I highly doubt the exercise.
I don't
thing
come
at the
on
moment.
Your show and shit talk your interests, bro. They should be in a museum.
Are you sure? You sure you haven't?
You literally
that
did that last time we were on together. I think that's
yeah,
all
that's
you.
Pretty much all I do when I guest on a podcast. Right, time to bully the host.
What about you, Neil? What's been going on the last 4 weeks?
Oh, look, nothing too much has changed really, other than the stand up. It's just the same. I don't even know. Well, I can't go to the gym, which sucks. And I realize how much I've taken really simple things for granted, like just going to a restaurant. Mm. Like I really just want to go to a restaurant. Never thought I'd say that. But yeah, it's forced me to make some more videos and I'm trying some new things. So yeah, it's not too bad for me right now. I feel bad for the people who just do stand up and don't have a social media presence.
Well, they are fucked.
They yeah. just, sitting yeah, they wheels can't do anything. Now. Yeah.
But wouldn't it be a good time to start having a social media presence? Like, fuck, if there was ever a time
that's what you'd
to
think.
Hustle.
I would think that the best time to start would have been in 2012 when they're all telling us that we shouldn't have been doing it, but each to their own.
Point. Yeah.
Well, the best I was actually time in year 10, guys.
2007, when YouTube first came out.
2007. Mm. Wow.
How old were you in 2007, Neil? You would have been 13? Like year 8, year 7.
Yeah.
You should have started. Because you were doing stand-up when you were like 14.
I did. Man, there's some, if you scroll far enough on my YouTube channel, there's some really old videos there.
Yeah.
And some really bad ones too.
You uploaded an old one last week of you like rapping when you were like real young.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
it was
that
good.
I was so sad that one didn't go viral. I made that before Australian 2 minutes. And I put so much effort into it. I had 3 cameramen. This rich-ass girl from my school asked her if we could film at her house. And then she hadn't told her mum or something. And so we showed up. It was just me and 3 other guys. And we're just like, yeah, we're here to film a music video. And the mum was like, what the fuck is going on? She called.
What's my daughter getting into? Am I sure this is a music video?
Exactly, because the lyrics are just like, I've got a big dick, I've got a big dick. And that was the entire thing.
Man, we all have our babies where you make it and you're like, this is the fucking one that's going to blow. And then it's always just like a 6. And you're like, oh, I guess that's the one that people want from me.
Yeah.
I was just looking so through true. Neil's, you know, you're right, Neil. I think some of your oldest videos are still some of your classics, like Australian 2 minutes, not as old as 2007, but is up there. I guess I'm curious amongst you guys, what sort of, one of the ones that blew up that you just didn't expect?
The You Don't Know Me one. Yeah. I didn't think it was that funny. Like it was funny to a point, and then I was just like, I showed Lewis. He's like, yeah, good one, man. All right, and then we kind of all just moved on, and then it didn't blow up at first. I think I've talked about it on the podcast before, but yeah, that one for me, definitely, because I thought the exam one was really relatable. The one I did right before it was like, if you could talk during exams, and I dropped it like at exam time, so I was like, this is gonna go nuts, and then that only went kind of big because You Don't Know Me did.
I've had a few. I've realized that I'm not good. Luke and Neil are great at doing relatable stuff. I've given up on that. I've tried it, but especially back in Facebook days when that was the type of content to make. I really did try to make it, and I've just worked out that I'm just not a very relatable cunt.
That's because we leave the house and so we talk to people so we can relate to people.
Yeah. Whereas I'm just not that at all. You know, I'm walking around Frankston trying to fight people over my shoes.
That's relatable for Frankston. I mean, you can kill it with the.
Well, that's why when I was like, I'm just going to do what I know instead of trying to relate to the masses. And I did all of those like Frankston lad rap parodies. Those ones blew up because I was like, well, I love rap and I can do it and I love funny shit, so I can do that. And that went well. I think that the only time I've ever really called something that I made and then I knew was going to go viral, because you always call it and then it never does, the only time I knew something was going to go nuts was when I did that vaccine video. And I was like, this is going to go nuts. And then that one did.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
my most successful video.
Still to this day, I see that on Reddit.
Oh, that one, like last year, front page Reddit actually about 12 times in a year, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you just get sick of seeing the same stuff if you were on Reddit all the time, though?
I don't know. It's like the You Don't Own Me thing. Like, you think about how many times that goes viral. It makes you really appreciate how many people there actually are in the world.
You know what's really funny? All the comments under that video have changed now. I reposted it on TikTok a couple of days ago, and all the comments are now, holy shit, I've watched this 20 times and I didn't know it was you. And I don't get how you can watch that video and be a fan of me and not realize it's me. Like, I don't look that different. I'm wearing tiny glasses.
It's definitely you.
Yeah.
People don't realize at all.
But the problem is, whenever you make something, it could be anyone.
True.
It's just your head.
You know what? There's other videos. I kind of look like that Roy Purdy guy as well. And sometimes people think that's me. And I'm like, nah, dude, that's not me. What about you, Neil?
Videos that I thought were going to go viral.
Yeah, did you think the Australia in 2 minutes was going to go viral?
I thought it might. I didn't think it would go as big as it did. Right. That was insane. I didn't leave my house for 2 days. I was just paranoid because I'd had a few semi-viral videos before that, but this one got 1 million views in a day. No, half a million views in a day, but all Australian. So that's insane. That's an insane ratio.
A lot. And that was back in the day when all of us were so much smaller than we are now as well. Yeah. That was such a huge thing. That was when wasn't like huge guys. Like Alex Williamson was really big, but other than that, there wasn't anyone that was like anywhere even close to him.
Mm.
Pretty much. It was all Alex. It was Alex. And then I guess Superwog was around. But yeah, that was crazy, man. I went to that was when I actually was living in Cogra. And I remember 3 days later, I had a gig. That was when I finally left the house. And as I'm walking down the stairs to the station, this guy just double takes. Another few people were double taking and everyone was like, bro, you're the fucking guy, bro. Like, oh, you're a fucking sick cunt. And like, that had never happened to me before. And in the space of a day, it's just happening suddenly. It was a crazy time.
What about modern education? Did you think that would blow up?
No, not at all. Not at all. I mean, if you look at the style of that, there isn't a word of dialogue said for the first minute. And that just went against the traditional wisdom of the internet. It was all about, especially that was when Vine was big. So it was all about get to the punchline as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
So I was honestly happy if that got 10,000 views, I would have been happy. And
I think that's just a credit to it being a good sketch though. Mm. I think people are willing to wait if, especially your audience trusted that there was going to be a good payoff. And then it was clearly good enough where they wanted to show like all their friends, the video as well. I think it's definitely, it shows that occasionally quality content does still shoot through and it can be better than shit stuff.
If it's written really well, you just have to put a lot of effort into the dialogue and the theme, I suppose. Like I had a bit of that with my fired sketch as well, where it was just like
written
well.
Man, Lewis and I did heaps of effort into that one. Do you remember that one, the prank, the fake?
That's what I was going to bring up. That's the one that I wanted to go viral that never did. Because I still think that's one of the funniest videos that we've done.
We spent like 2 days shooting this thing for Lewis's channel. This was like real early. It was one of the first videos I'd done. And it was like the fake, what was it called?
The concept of it was like, this is when all of those prank videos, like Prank Gone Wrong, were really huge.
It was when like SoFlo Antonio was big.
Yeah, so the concept for the sketch was
what happened to that guy?
He's gone. He threatened to sue me, now he's gone. But the concept for that sketch was like me being a famous YouTuber wanting to set up a fake prank. So I get Luke and he thinks we're doing a fake prank about assaulting the homeless to make it go viral, like a shock prank, but I'm not faking at all. And we actually do it. We end up accidentally killing this guy. Luke freaks out, finds out that I'm some criminal, and then we bury the body. And I think that it was such a funny, well shot and well acted sketch as well, that it, but it just never took off. I think because it was just a bit too violent.
Wow. Yeah, I just don't think it was a thing you can show your mum. Like, you just brutally assault Elliot at the start of the video. Then we put him in a body bag, and the rest of the video is us just trying to yelling at each other, dealing with this body. But it's actually one of the still the best things, like one of the best sketches I've ever been a part of, for sure. Like, it's pretty funny.
I'm thinking about sketches and stand-up. I feel like pretty early on, a lot of these events started getting cancelled. Like, I feel like I saw Verve publish something like, it was that Friday where I know the Grand Prix got cancelled. And we're just talking before about those who are stand-ups, like just doing stand-up and have no social presence, no sketches, no bits online, and how they must be surviving. So I guess I'm curious from you guys, from your perspective, what was the first month or so like? When did it sort of start to hit that, okay, this is a bit different and shit was not going to be normal for 6 months?
Well, Luke
when
and
they
I
just... Melbourne.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was when they cancelled Melbourne that day, but then it really hit when it would have been the first night at Melbourne. And like, yeah. I don't, like, there's two parts of Melbourne that I think we all love. It's the doing the shows are really fun, but then it's like, I really like the thing of all of us are down there at once, and it was going to be us three in the same venue.
Huh. Yeah, the camaraderie.
At this, yeah, so that would have been heaps of fun every night just going in with all your mates and stuff. And I feel like that was the thing where I was like, oh, this year's going to suck.
Yeah, a few nights, just the last couple of weeks, I was thinking, man, I'd be performing a show right now.
Yeah, we'd be in the middle of the festival right now.
I'll be near the end.
Yeah, see, I don't even know what fucking day it is.
It's been like a month. That's the thing. It'd be the last week of the festival. This has been going on.
It'll be the last week. Crazy.
Yeah, I think I think that what I've noticed is that I've started now, especially, I've started feeling real, like, not anxious, just like really restless and feeling like I'm not working. I've been super productive on the video front, but whenever, sometimes I would always feel super weird and I would work out, oh, it's because I haven't performed in a couple weeks or whatever. And my body's going, you're being lazy, do the fucking thing, work harder. And I'm getting that now, but there's no remedy to it. Because you just can't perform. I feel like I'm slacking off because I've trained myself to always be thinking about stand up and performing it. And now that I'm not, whenever I'm like, fuck, I feel like I'm slacking off, even though I'm not. It's weird.
Yeah, I can understand that. I haven't seen any clients in a very long time. I think it's the human element. Like I was saying to Luke before, like that human connection, you sort of, particularly as comedians, you must really get your energy from that when you're doing stand-up in particular.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if you think about it, the lifestyle of a comedian, especially a comedian who's also on social media, is already quite solitary. So sometimes doing the gig at night is the only time where mingling with other people. So if you cut that out, it just becomes a life of solitude. So take some getting used to.
Has anyone thought about what you could do live? Like, I know it's very hard. Like, just a lot of podcasters have gone live. Is there a way that you could do some type of stand-up?
People are suggesting live stand-up. It's like, doesn't work. Like, if you, like, a lot of the churches decided to do live sermons with no audience. And if you watch that shit, is the most fucking cringe, embarrassing shit of some guy pretending there's an audience there. It's terrible. There's no way you could do it with stand-up. Probably with a podcast or maybe streaming video games or whatever. That could work, but not a live event.
Do you want to know the weirdest suggestion that someone's given me so far for being able to do live events?
No.
So, I'm going to tell you. So obviously there's live streaming and every comedian, I think, is like, no, that would be terrible. Someone had the idea of, what about you use the technology that the drive-ins use and you do a drive-in comedy show? So it's like an FM transmitter. I'm on a stage. People park their car like in front in like an amphitheater and then people watch stand-up from their cars.
I think that would work.
I agree. Oh, that would seriously work.
That's better than the problem is
you would only be legally allowed to perform to family groups. So it would have to be each car is a different
family.
This was
before the new laws. This was like just when the comedy festival was cancelled. So this is when I think it was just under 100 people was the law. Someone
I'm pretty sure told that Germana driving is still working.
I think that would be fine. That's about as socially distant as you can get. I don't see any issue.
As long as the candy bar is closed.
I think that'd be sick. Imagine like nailing a punchline and instead of getting an applause break, you just get muffled laughter and
I don't know. It'd just be like, it'd be the same for you as the comedian of when you hit the punchline and you get no feedback, you're like, well, fuck, all right, move on to the next one. The Laugh Factory in America has been doing live streaming I haven't watched it yet, but I just imagine it must be brutal for the comedians just up there on the stage doing their usual bits. And not only that, they're burning bits online and getting zero fucking response from it.
So weird. Yeah. I think that our energy is better spent growing online because I'm thinking from the positive side of this thing. I thought, man, I've needed to focus on my online output for three years, like a whole year just to grow online. Think about what could happen when we come back, because live events, I don't think are coming back at all this year. Because even if they become legal at the end of the year, you're still probably going to need 6 months to book it all in. And then who knows how far in advance you'll have to book it in, because obviously every single person from a fucking comedian to a musician to a preacher will want a theater. So I view it as like, this is such a, the positive side is it's such a good, perfect opportunity to grow and perfect an online audience so that when you come back, not only are you potentially twice, three times the size, but every single one of them is dying to see any live event.
Yeah, I think that was one of the things I had in my notes. I feel like for us in the media space, like it's quite obvious that nothing sales-wise is going to get done over the next 6 months. So everything is about condensing what we were going to do over the year to improve how we were doing things and getting it done in the next month or so. So I guess I was curious, like, what do you got? What's first on the top of your mind? Maybe we can start with Neil, but like as an example, we've tried to get like new camera setups, all our processes have been refined, so now we're like producing in half the time. I guess I'm curious as to what you guys have been doing around that.
Well, I'm definitely trying to increase my YouTube output, because I'd always put off YouTube for a while. I'd been more focused on Facebook, Instagram. That's where I was getting a lot more traction. So I'm trying to just start new series on YouTube. Post 2, 3, 4 videos a week, but keep it regular and keep it something, segments or whatever it might be, that I can continue doing when live shows get back up. And I'm sure you've also seen I'm pushing the TikTok hard. Didn't expect that, but I genuinely just enjoy it. It doesn't feel like work.
It's a good
All
app.
The other stuff feels like work. It's really fun.
It's good.
Dude, the sense of humor on that, like the videos I'm getting on my For You page, it's all really funny. Whereas I look at my Facebook newsfeed, even my YouTube subscriptions, it's all very corporate, a lot of ads. I don't enjoy it in the way I used to when YouTube and Facebook first
TikTok's
came about.
TikTok's where real people are at the moment, like
exactly,
in terms of creators. Like
it.
It's the average human is making shit on there and occasionally going viral. And of course, we're all going to go in there and ruin it. And after us, it'll be the brands. But for now, it's in a great spot.
We're that good middle ground, right? We're not the corporate, we're not the suits yet. So
no.
I'm really enjoying that right now. So I'm just trying to do that and continue the output as much as possible.
What about you, Luke?
I've been doing the same as Neil. I have been trying on TikTok. I don't make much original stuff for the app. Like I'll never think of an idea and go, I'm going to make a TikTok. I actually do, and then I don't bother. The only thing I ever do is I just cut up all my old clips. I've been catching up on so much shit. I've been putting out these Bachelor videos that I filmed in August last year. Jeez. And then I never got around to editing it because I was going away so much. And then we filmed for 3 hours and I was like, I can't be bothered. I've been putting off a bunch of things for ages. And I feel like I'm finally on top of everything, which is like a massive weight off my shoulders. And now the next thing is to just be consistent. And that I think I've just had to rearrange my goals. I guess like the goal this year was, I was obviously doing Melbourne, Lewis and I had a UK thing booked in. I had a national tour booked in. So I think everything got completely cancelled. So now the new goal is to just get to 100K on YouTube, and then just be more present in that space. Cause I felt like, I was just focusing on stand up, and the only thing that I was relying on YouTube was stand up.
Mm.
Like the only thing that was going well for me for a couple of years was just my stand up clips. And I realized, oh fuck, I'm going to have to figure something else out and make my audience like my other videos again, because I can't rely on shooting more stand up.
Lewis, you moved to Frankston. And you've got your new little studio out the back. What's the goal for the next few months?
Man, just building like a machine, basically. Like I'm trying to build, just get all of my gear right and get a system and a routine going so I can just be pumping out like 3 YouTube videos a week, because I think my strength is YouTube. And I've noticed that my audience on YouTube especially is like 50% American and growing. And my goal is to, you know, to take over the States and do stand up there and live in New York. So that's what I'm going to do. It's kind of like a perfect opportunity to kind of double down on that. I reckon I'm just going to try putting up videos at 3 a.m. Australian time for a whole year, see if I can grow an American audience. And then by the time all this shit's over, maybe do a tour. Because I think, you know, I'm at almost half a million. Awesome. I think 600,000 to 700,000 subscribers is kind of achievable by the end of the year. So that's my goal. And then Australia will grow with that and continue. Basically, I just want to get myself in a position where I can afford to lose money for a few years in America.
Yeah.
While I'm small.
What I was thinking, though, you guys are putting in all this time and you've got to pay yourselves in some way. What the fuck does... like, because all of your revenue is made on key events during the year. And if all those are gone, what do you do? Like, are you in your head thinking, fuck, as soon as this thing's over, I have to do a tour immediately? What's everyone thinking in that regard?
I mean, I have a show ready to do. So I want to do a tour as soon as it's all over, because I was about to do one. Same with you guys, right?
Yeah, tour straight away is the goal.
Pretty much. Might have to start an OnlyFans account soon, but right now.
I've been like literally weighing up on my head what's worse, just being on the dole or starting an OnlyFans. And OnlyFans is looking real fucking, you know, promising at the end of the road.
Hey, better you than your girlfriend, right?
Oh, shit. Is anyone going to apply? Because Lauren's paid a salary from the business, so we're going to apply for that JobKeeper thing.
Yeah.
Are you guys able to apply for any of that?
Well, it's such a fuck around. I've been talking to my accountant and he reckons that I'm eligible for something, but he's not really sure what it is. Like the accountant, it's a big firm that is my guy. And he's like, look, they've outlined like the really broad strokes of all of these programs, but still for most of them, there's no way to apply. There's no like specifics. Like what is, if you lose 30% of your revenue, what does that mean? Like 30% this month?
Yeah.
Cause do you know what I mean? Like for me, for example, I toured, the last time I toured was in September last year. So on paper, I'm making the same amount of money as I did last March because I wasn't touring at that point. But in September, that's when I'll on paper lose 30% less than what I did the year before, because that's when I would have toured. So it's like, how do you actually prove you've lost 30%? But I think, I don't know, ultimately I think we'll just be eligible for something, because I feel like there'll be a little bit.
I think I'm going to get that one, because I've been talking with my accountant, and my brother works in like a tax firm, so his job is like to sort out all that stuff for their clients. Amazing. So he thinks I'm going to be definitely eligible, because it's going to be really easy for me to prove it, because I was working the same time last year and I can throw figures at them going, this is exactly what I made last year, and then I haven't made any of that this year.
Yeah.
So they think it's going to be pretty easy for me to get. Yeah, Lewis is right with that thing, it might be harder to prove that he lost 30% of his revenue during between March 1st and whatever the cutoff date was.
Yeah. Mm. What about you, Neil?
Yeah, I'm gonna apply for it as well. I've told my media management to look more into doing some sponsored videos, because that was just never something I really did. I got a lot of offers, never really went through with it. But now I'm open to doing it. And
man, you should. It's good money. No one gives a fuck.
Yeah, no one's gonna care now. And like, brands are a lot. They're a lot smarter when it comes to working with YouTubers. You know, when I started 4, 5, 6 years ago, they would basically give you the idea and the script, and you were just posting an ad on your channel, and it never worked. Whereas now they give you a lot more creative control. So I'm looking into that a lot more. And I think for the next couple of months, that's going to be my main source of revenue. But yeah, I'll probably apply for the JobKeeper one as well.
It is really hard though with brands at the moment, because like, we lost our sponsor on the podcast because they've obviously been affected by all this as well. Really? So a lot of brands aren't putting as much money into marketing at the moment because everyone's been affected by it.
Yeah.
So you just got to find the right brands. Like, there's some brands that are doing great out of this. Like, there's iPhone games that are probably thriving.
I just did a brand deal for some mobile phone game, because there's, with every business that goes down, there's another one that benefits from shit like that. It's out there, and Neil's right. It's gotten so much better in terms of like what they'll let you do, you know?
Yeah. Well, on the point of industries that are doing better, I think it's quite obvious with the people we deal with and brands in general, e-commerce is doing really well. Mm-hmm. Mobile games or anything software related, really. Is doing really,
Zoom,
really well.
Apparently the went up 1,000% or something.
Yeah. Zoom's gone up I've been looking at the stock market a lot since the crash. Zoom went up crazy amount. Afterpay went fucking nuts and is still going nuts. It went up 29% yesterday. After it dropped from $45 down to $8, and now it's up to almost $30. So all of those online businesses are doing like really, really well, but it's not clear if they will continue to do well.
Yeah.
Because like, with so many people losing their jobs, you don't really feel that until like 4 months after, really.
Yeah. We'll know in 6 months. Right, we'll know in 6 months what's going on.
Yeah.
There's a huge stimulus that, the American government and even the Australian government, as soon as the stimulus was announced, stocks boomed back up. But then, like you said, we won't know for a couple of months. That's when we'll actually know really what the future's going to look like.
Yeah.
With the financial world.
Because all the airlines are fucked, aren't they?
Pretty much.
No, pretty much. Because the government's pretty much said they're going to keep... Virgin might die. Qantas is going to be fine.
Yeah.
Because for a country to function, you need an airline. So the government is... They have to bail them out. The country will die without an airline. But the worry could be from an investing thing. I've been nerding out over this for months now. If the government could offer Qantas a deal, like, all right, you can't afford to run till the rest of the year, so we'll pay your expenses, but in exchange for that, we want some ownership. And then that's when all those Qantas shares you stocked up on because you thought they were cheap become worthless, because it's now a government business, not a private one. But that's, you know, obviously a worst case scenario for an investor, not for the public.
On the financial market side, obviously, coming from that space, I think, Neil, you're right. We're not going to really see what's going to happen for 6 months. Like, credit markets at the moment are in a tailspin. So like, if you're, as an example, 1 month ago, I feel like it was Uber or someone raised or listed a bond and they were paying 6 or 7%. So it's sort of similar to a mortgage, right? Your standard rate. Mm-hmm. And then a month later, Airbnb goes and lists a bond to just survive, really. And now they're paying like 18% on that bond. So that's where the real pressure is at the moment. And we're not seeing it in equity markets yet, because the governments are printing money, which therefore goes basically into the equity markets. And we're not really seeing what's happening for small businesses as yet. We won't see it for like 6 months. You know, all these hospitality workers, all these cafes, retail stores that can't have people in their shops. They're the ones that are going to be hit the worst, unfortunately. Mm. On the ATO side of things...
Just a quick point. Like, I was talking to Jordan Shanks on one of the last podcasts I did, and he made a point that was really interesting. What this is doing is it's exacerbating the automation process, which was inevitable. It's going to happen throughout this decade. But now, when the corporations, when things go back to normal and the restrictions are lifted, the corporations will say, oh, we'll only rehire 60% of our workforce. We'll have these automated machines doing the rest.
So and they actually, won't look evil doing that. They can just go, oh,
exactly.
We can't afford it.
Yeah. So it will speed up the automation process, which a lot of people will, even if they're on the JobKeeper thing for the next 6 months, they might be out of a job once that's over. It could result in, you know, reduced prices and increased productivity because everything's automated, but it's going to be a big shock. And it's very unpredictable right now.
The problem is that it obscures price, so no one actually knows what the value of something is. Because the government's willing to prop things up and pay for it. Like, real estate is wacky, man, at the moment. Like, I feel like I read on the weekend, the clearance rate in Victoria was like 16%. So 97 properties were listed and 7 were actually sold. But the price didn't go
no
down.
No one's buying and no one's renting. I kind of feel like an idiot for agreeing to what I'm paying for my rent. I mean, it's cheap. It's Frankston. But I feel like I almost definitely could have got heaps of money off my rent if I was like, I'll move in today if you give me this much off. Because I feel like the vibe that I got was like, I think I'm the only person inspecting this house and they might have 10.
How quickly did they approve you?
Straight away, immediately.
Like on the day or the day after?
The day.
Jeez. Wow, he has all his teeth. Let him rent.
Yeah. Well, dude, bro, when I got in there, the floors were fucked. Me and my girl, we spent 3 days cleaning the house. Whoever lived here was an animal, not because of the state they left it in, but when I checked the bin, there were 3 cardboard boxes that had the Skechers logo on them. So anyone who's shopping at Skechers 3 times in a row is a fucking ice head.
You know what was fucked about mine? I thought that like there was heaps of demand for the place that we're renting because I went to the open house and it was like 15 people there in different groups, couples. Ooh. And Meg and I were like, all right, we need to apply ASAP. And then we realized that people must have inspected it. I mean, like, nah, because we got approved immediately as well. And I was like, oh, we probably could have asked for more off.
Yeah.
Our thing, but
well, who knows, now, man? Evictions are illegal for the minute. Maybe we can't pay our rent for the next 6 months.
But
who knows?
Still owe
we're
it,
in.
Right?
Fuck the rules.
Yeah, still
but then
repay
you just end
it.
Up owing them rent, don't you?
Yeah, you still got to repay.
I think so.
It's funny because we're in this position where we got an email from our agent or landlord, and it said, "Hey, you know, during coronavirus, we'll support you and all this corporate speak bullshit." And then I email them back and say, "Hey, look, our business isn't doing too well at the moment. Sales are down like 40%. Do you think we could get a trim on rent, like 20% for the next couple months? Let's just say 2 months to start." And like she responded immediately. Mind you, she never ever responds. It takes like 2 weeks to get an answer for anything fucking fixed.
Fuck you.
Yeah. And it was basically like, fuck you, you pay your rent.
It's so weird.
Well, all that shit.
Yeah, it's not surprising though. They're just fucking assholes.
Although on the flip side of things, I saw like some Reddit post of this landlord in New York that owned a building, and every single resident banded together and said, "We're not paying our rent at all." And he put up this big post going, "What do I do? I never was going to charge them all full rent. I was going to give them a discount. Now I can't afford to pay any maintenance. The building is going to fall apart and they won't get running water. What do I do?"
Jesus.
So I just think in times like this, you just need to have a little bit of working together rather like what you do of like, can I pay this much less? And instead of them going, fuck you, they could go, what about this?
Yeah.
Instead of just going all or nothing on this shit, which is what a lot of people are doing, I think a lot of people aren't thinking like, oh, this shit's going to last like a year minimum. So you got to work something out.
No one's willing to compromise at the moment in that industry. It's the only industry I've dealt with where people are so unwilling to compromise. Like, we've got clients who are in retail and a bunch of different industries, and they're working around their situation, and we're working with them to do whatever we can or nothing at all of the projects that we're going to be doing. But real estate is like the only one where they seem to be just like oblivious to what the fuck is actually going on.
Because they're not humans. Property investors aren't human beings. They're robots.
Someone needs to do a bit on it or a sketch.
Their job's been automated for like 40 years.
Yeah.
Landlords really have replaced themselves. Like, you have a real estate agent. I don't know who the fuck my landlord is. All I know is there's some chick with Botox and fake tits that called, like, almost killed me because she found I put deadlocks on the front door. I was like, dude, I live in Frankston. I'm going to have, you know, they gave me like a skeleton key from the 1800s. When we showed it to the locksmith, he laughed at us. He was like, in this area, I was like, yeah. He goes, all right, we're putting deadlocks on every door. And then I told the real estate agent and they were like, you need to tell us. I'm like, fuck, sorry for upgrading the house. I guess next time I'll get murdered by a meth head wearing Skechers.
So what's been the change in everyone's content? What are you guys doing differently?
I mean, the podcast, our podcast has changed just because we're doing this. Like, this is how Lewis and I have been chatting for the last month. See, Lewis and I, even before the restrictions, weren't hanging out. I don't think Lewis and I have seen each other in person since like early March.
I've been all over this. I was self-isolating 2 weeks, 2-3 weeks before people were telling you to do it.
Because we thought Lewis had it. Lewis was sick when I got back from the Gold Coast. And like, I think I got back on like March 13th was the last time I traveled. And then I was at the warehouse for a bit doing the show from there, and Lewis was at home doing it over Zoom. So we've been doing it remotely for ages now. So that's the only thing that's changed. Other than that, YouTube hasn't changed because it's just filming videos in my bedroom.
What about you, Neil?
Posting a lot more TikToks. The podcast hasn't changed for us because, like I said, there's just the two of us there. I set it all up and then I send it to an editor by two people. And look, I think it's essential work. I think podcasts are essential.
So, Scott Morrison said it himself, an essential job is a job you have. So do your fucking job. Even if it's dick jokes or cleaning floors, as long as you're doing it safely, do it.
Man, this is a funny story. I was filming a sketch, Drunk Aussies in the Uber, with my cameraman. And we went to a car park in a park late at night because it's an Uber sketch. They're coming out from a party. We tried to set it up like that. And so I'm doing all the characters. So I'm putting my wigs on and all sorts of shit. There's just a guy filming me in the car.
Yeah.
Fucking a police car comes right next to us. what are you guys doing? And luckily I did not have the wig on at that time. It would have been hilarious if I did. Steve gets out with a camera. There's a light in there. We both get out. There's all these clothes on the floor and stuff. We're like, just filming a sketch. And he's like, what for? He's like, for my YouTube channel. And then he goes, he looks into the car. He looks at us a little bit. I'm not sure if he recognized me or not, but he's like, all right, it is essential work. And I guess we're pretty busy tonight.
That was just his own head going, fucking, I can't believe this cunt's got it doing this for money and I have to risk my life.
Dressing
up as a woman in a car park and I'm out here arresting people who've got COVID-19.
Fuck.
11 p.m. at night as well. And then he starts asking about the sketch. He's like, oh, so what's it about? Is it funny?
I hope so.
So, yeah, it was...
So not that busy then, I guess.
Weird experience.
Oh, damn.
What's that?
So he wasn't that busy then, if he's got time to sit there and ask.
Clearly. Exactly.
Does that mean Lewis and I could be doing the podcast together?
Yeah,
probably.
I think we can, yeah.
See, Jordan's been like stay at home for ages before this was happening. I saw you posting like about how serious this was like February.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, because of work, we've had to pay attention to what was going on. I found this interesting. Everyone's starting to now have to work out dates. We were meant to go to a wedding in May. So we booked our shit in January, right? Flights, accommodation, insurance, whatever. And the fucking insurers are saying that we should have known about it on January 25th. But I don't think anyone knew what? About it. I know.
Dogs.
You know, there is footage of me on the podcast discovering what coronavirus was. I'll find the date in which Lewis told
Can
me
you
what
do
it
that?
Was.
I'll use that.
This is
as
how
a proof.
Uninformed I am. Oh, look, I'll try and find the date. You guys
I say, look, there's a media personality and not even he knew.
Yeah, but I'm a moron. Come on, I'm the most uninformed human on the planet. I only learn about shit through my friends. Like, this podcast has been the most I've learned. Like, you notice when you guys were talking about the stock market, I just sat here and was like,
oh, shit. But I can't believe that. I feel like no one really knew about this until, like, there was obviously the Grand Prix, but it was like mid-Feb. Everyone's like, oh, that corona, hey. And I remember going to like the St. Kilda football season launch and no one was shaking hands. And that was like mid to late Feb. But that was like only started then.
The first I heard of it not online, like a you know how there's like some shit that you'll just see online and you'll be like, oh, that's going to be in the consciousness in a few months. Mm. It was like that. I saw it online and I was like, I wonder if how real this is going to get. And when I realized it was real, I was on a plane and there was like an old guy, maybe 60, and we were lining up to get off the plane. The doors are still shut. And he said something about corona. And then his wife goes, shh, you can't say that on a plane. He goes, oh, what? I can't say the C word. And then everyone had a little bit of a chuckle. And then she went, no, you can't. And then he goes, what about the N word? And I gave him a look. And in case you were wondering, I don't need to tell you, but yes, that was in the Gold Coast.
Yeah.
So I found out what corona, like I found out what it was. So Lewis goes, is it, you can go watch the clip. It was January 27th. Was the date I found out what that word meant.
Oh, so the insurance companies are pretty close then. That's only a few days after.
Yeah. True. But like it was definitely in the news, but it was only in China at this point.
Yeah.
Yes. And it was like China had this pandemic happening. And I'm the type of arsehole, I'm so ignorant that I hear stuff going on overseas and I go, that's never going to affect me. Because that's what's always happening.
Unless you had known Lewis, it would be unlikely that you would have known like everyone else until like late Feb.
No. I found out, well, maybe it's because I did know about it. I then started to see it. It was on YouTube trending the week after that.
Uh-huh.
So there was like, and that's usually where I find my news is like, this is how I found out that Kobe Bryant died from Alex Williamson's Instagram story. How sad's that? That's like... you go to for news.
Yeah, so, better than a current affair.
Yeah. Jesus.
Yeah. So on the podcast, Lewis goes to me, Lewis goes, okay, you don't know what coronavirus is. And I went, what? And he goes, okay. No, so you guys were talking about Wuhan.
I said, I'm going to, because I, in the planning meeting, I said something about corona. And Luke was like, what? And I was like, never mind. We'll do it on the show. And then I went, I'm going to demonstrate how uninformed Luke is. And I just did it as a test. We not planned at all. I just
All he goes like, is, he's like, when I say corona, what does that mean to you? Now we have this ongoing joke on the podcast that I'm a massive alcoholic. And I go, right, well, you're trying to make me look like an alcoholic. So I was like, it reminds me of beer. Yeah, it's a bit. I go Mexican beer and he's like, nothing else. And I went, nah. And he goes, what about China? And I just go, yes. And then he's like, Wuhan. And I'm like, I don't even know what the fuck that is. It turns out it's a place. And then they were just fascinated. And you can see it in my face. I'm just like, I don't understand the joke here, guys. And I watched that clip back now and it's fucking embarrassing because then that clip went big on Instagram about 7 weeks later and it made me look like such a dickhead because everyone thought it was like
you can't
recent.
See the date on an Instagram video. You don't see the date. So it looked like it happened like 3
early March. early March, it looks like I've just missed this fucking worldwide pandemic that's happening. Everyone's in isolation and everyone's like, how does this guy not know what it is?
But that was such a Luke moment. Like, I saw that clip and I was like, I know where this is going. Like, I just know. Funny. I just know that he doesn't know.
And I live my life in blissful ignorance and I'm happy with that.
Do you know what? It's probably really nice. Like,
being you get yourself unaware. In situations like that. Look, you know what? It'll be really nice if this wasn't my job. But the reality is thousands of people listen to what I say every week and I don't make any effort to improve myself for them. Which is problematic because
Luke
I think
has the
most
social
of our,
functions of a bricklayer, basically.
Yeah, I do. Most of our audience would
even bricklayers read the Daily Telegraph.
That's true. Yeah, a bricklayer who can't read.
But that's the thing, though. Most of our audience would absolutely be fucking morons. Yet, it's definitely the main joke of the show, and the main comments are just pointing at things that I say wrong. When I know that everyone who listens to our podcast, if they were on record for 2 hours a week, would be probably come off as way dumber, but they just don't have the platform. So it's pretty easy to laugh from the other side. So I'm just happy to take on for the team and be the guy that is publicly uninformed.
Jordan, everyone who listens to us is a moron. Luke,
it's true, man. You are what you put out, you know. Read any YouTube comment section. You realize that most people are just fucking morons. Like the amount
I think
of dumb
most
messages.
In the comment section of 15.
Yeah.
I guess that's but why, that's, yeah.
Most people who comment are morons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because smart people don't comment on things, they just either like or dislike.
Yeah, they can't be bothered.
Go out of your way to be like, I didn't like this particular video for these reasons. I mean, who does that?
You got way too much time on your hands.
That's not even the stuff that bothers me is negativity. What bothers me is when I just get stupid questions on Instagram, how'd a guy have a go at me? He goes, oh man, I went and looked on your website and there's no tour dates on there. And this was a month before my tour. It was only tour dates. It was the homepage. And he's like, couldn't find anything on there. And he had a full crack at me. I'm like, mate, I can't help you. If you're that stupid, then you're on your own here.
Yeah, that's Lewis's pet peeve, right? It's like people ask him, when's the show? And he's like, go on the fucking website.
Google it. Dude, Googling Lewis Spears tour date is so much easier than opening up a social media platform, searching my name, opening up the message and asking me and then crossing your fingers, hoping that I see it. And then if I do see it, me going, oh, I'll help this moron. If you don't know how to look up dates for a show, I don't want you at the show because you're not going to understand anything.
That's it.
Point of coronavirus and discovering it, how deep have you guys gone on conspiracy theories and generally the politics? Okay. What's your favorite?
This one I actually think is true. So it started in Wuhan. The reason why I know it started in China is because China said America did it.
Yeah.
Straight away, definitely started in China. So, and then we can play with the specifics from there. So it definitely started in China, definitely in Wuhan. I think that the laboratory that they have, which is definitely to test diseases and shit, I don't think they leaked it. I don't think they did it on purpose. I think that someone was selling animals out the back that were being tested on. He had maybe it was a security guard or whatever. He had no idea what they were doing with the animals. He was just a poor Chinese guy selling dead dogs to the wet market or whatever they were testing on. I think that's how it happened.
Yeah, I think you're pretty close to it. I read an article the other day by this guy, Matt Ridley, known as the Rational Optimist, but he amongst many others have worked out that it was something like that, Lewis, where they were already testing shit. So apparently they were testing this coronavirus from the same bat on human cells in this lab. But the only reason they were doing it there is because 5 kilometers away in these mountains are that bat. And they believe that some poor bloke, because they have these stupid fucking wet markets and this wild animal farming, has gone and gotten some of the bats, sells them and they're in a similar area to the fucking sand shrew, as Friendly Geordies calls it. What is it? The pangolin. And it's gotten to the pangolin, and then it's gotten to the guy who runs the pangolin store, and it's kicked off from there. So
yeah, it's just animal. It's just, if it wasn't leaked from a lab, it's just animals on top of each other that would never normally meet.
Yeah, it's just. Have you guys seen many videos of those wet markets?
It's correct. I can't watch it. It's terrible.
They're fucking horrible.
Do they torture the animals a lot, or is it just the disgust of seeing all these random animals piled on?
Yeah, and, it's
China has a real weird thing. I guess I suppose maybe every country that has that many people and a country that doesn't have that much care for human life obviously is going to have even less for animal life.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think. If there's that many people and they live in a dictatorship and they're fucking locking up Uyghurs and all this kind of shit, you just don't really care about the individual, let alone a fucking animal. So I think it's just all about like, oh, whatever we can get, let's do it. It's just, you know, survival. Animal rights is a first world issue for sure.
Yeah.
True. I was reading that China just banned eating dogs like a week ago. Is that true?
Maybe, but they'll probably bring it back.
I think in a specific city, not nationwide.
Because of like public, like world pressure, and now that there's a spotlight on them for starting all this shit, it's like they were trying to publicly be like, "Don't worry, we're getting on top of it." It's like, dude, you shouldn't have been able to eat a dog like 3 months ago. There, really.
Yeah.
Like, because they also have them as pets, right?
Yeah.
But that's where, like, don't you reckon vegans have a point where they say at least the Chinese are consistent? They say, yeah, we'll eat every animal, but for whatever reason, we think the suffering of a dog or a cat is more significant than the suffering of a cow or a pig.
I think vegans absolutely have the moral high ground, and they are correct. I just think that banning the sale of meat and animals is impractical and it's impossible. I think that the world in like hundreds of years will be vegan, not because we will stop eating meat, just because we'll learn how to grow it in a lab without killing something. We'll just be cloning the perfect steak. Because they're already working they can make a leg with no animal attached to it. So it's just going to be that.
It just costs, you can get that meat in America. It just costs $1,000 or something. It's just really expensive.
Yeah. So technology basically will solve the problem in the long term.
That's where we should go. It's not a good thing to eat animals.
We just stop breeding animals because of that.
Probably.
Yeah.
So there will be a bit where there's heaps of fucking cows, but then once they all die, we just stop breeding them.
Probably.
There'll be like a weird 5 years when you'll be like, there'll be a weird 5 years when you just see cows fucking everywhere in every paddock. You'll be like, geez, a lot of cows, you know?
But well, it'd be like when they invented cars, like the roads were just 50%, like 90% horses and 10% cars. And everyone on horse is like, what's this fucking dickhead doing? And he's like, I'm the future, out of my way.
But the cars would have been like so loud and shit that like it would have still been better to be on a horse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like it would have been some rich guy going, what are you doing, mate? Sorry, what? I can't hear you over my fucking first car, you know? Yeah.
Has anyone here traveled much to Asia?
Oh, I went to Thailand, but that's like just fucking going to Australia with, you know, Bob Marley pictures everywhere.
Because I've like wet markets are pretty universal across most of Asia, not all, but most.
I've been to like the night markets in Thailand, and you just get shit that you're like, you know what I'm like? I just walk through and go, ew, that's not a dim sim, you know?
Mm. So, like, I remember in Vietnam distinctly, like, being at a wet market, and it was like seriously one of the most fucking horrifying experiences I've ever had. The only difference
it's just
is
just real quickly, forgive my ignorance here, but what's the difference between a wet market and just like the butcher or something like
that? So a wet market,
they're all alive,
is half butchered animal and half live animal in cages. So they'll butcher them live.
Okay.
I would like this koala, please. And they'll kill it in front of you in the most inhumane way possible.
Yeah. The most torturous way that you've probably ever seen.
Wait, You know that in Melbourne, I don't want to say the name of the restaurant, but there is a on Chinatown. Lewis and I always go there, and Neil would have been there as well during the comedy festival. It's in Chinatown in the CBD, and they have the crabs and the crayfish at the front of the place. Yeah. And while you're eating, if someone you one time Lewis and I heard a guy order one, and then we watched 5 minutes later the chef walk out. Grab the crayfish, walk past us with it kicking and stuff. And then 5 minutes later, or like 10 minutes later, it came out on a plate. And Lewis and I were like, oh my fucking God. Like, why do they keep it at the front still?
Yeah.
Yeah, that tank.
It's to show how fresh it is. That's actually pretty normal. Like here we are criticizing China's wet markets and shit. We're doing that. That's not a Chinese thing. We're doing that shit. That's at Italian restaurants, seafood restaurant.
It's just behind. It's behind at the back of the restaurant. It's not.
Well, the issue in China is the fact that the government encouraged these. They call it like wild animal farming. So they encourage people to sort of use it as propaganda, the idea around traditional Chinese medicine, that this animal gives you this thing. And, you know, if you eat the nose of a bat, you've got its sense of smell. Or if you eat a lion, you're going to be good in bed. Like all this weird shit. So that's why
it's
you've
like
got these
superhero origin story shit. Yeah. Like Batman. Like, yeah, and now I have bat senses because I ate a bat. Man.
So it would be less like Vietnam. Yeah. In Vietnam, you see less of that. Like maybe closer to the north, you'll see it. But generally, most markets are domesticated animals. But the problem, I guess, in China is that they're mixing animals that aren't domesticated, and therefore we're not used to the diseases that they have.
It is such an interest. China's so interesting in the sense that they're like a modern first world country, but they're also definitely not.
Oh no, like, they're not. They're not. If you go outside the cities, they're not at all.
Yeah, like they'll have like some of the most highly advanced, like wealthy cities in the world. And then if you go for a drive for a few days, you'll just find the Stone Age.
Yeah.
Those countries, like India's got the same wealth. Is it, you know, the difference between what's the word I'm looking for?
Wealth gap.
Yeah, the wealth inequality.
Disparity?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say disparity, but I thought I was using it wrong.
But the problem is with China is that like they've increased their wealth to the point that their GDP is the same as the US. In comparison to India, it hasn't increased as much. The problem is that it's all gone to the top of that society. I was reading something.
Isn't that because there's so many slums in India that it's completely lowering that, like,
well, they haven't modernized some parts of their economy, which they're doing with their leader at the moment. But obviously, they're now in lockdown.
There has been a huge increase in the middle class in India over the last few decades.
Yeah,
the middle class and the conditions for them, as much as you can in a country that's very, very crowded, but it has improved for the middle class.
I think it's just so hard to run a big country properly. Like you look at New Zealand is probably handling this corona shit the best because they have a small country, a small economy, and they all trust each other because there's just less types of people. Like America is a perfect example. America is like 16 different countries. Texas is not LA. They're different people who want completely different things. So if the government goes, what about this? Half the country is going to go, that sucks. Like Australia, New Zealand, I think our countries are so good in terms of healthcare and we have less disparity, to quote Luke, because we're so much smaller.
Yeah, I think there's something to that. There's something around like homogenous versus non-homogenous cultures. Well, it sort of falls over because India, you could argue, is... You know, you're not going to have as many foreigners in India as a percentage as opposed to Australia. You know what I mean? So,
I guess just when there's more people, it's harder to identify the biggest problem or even the solution.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is. I think it's different cultural groups is maybe the thing. Because Texas, you know, like you said, culturally is very different to California.
India is very, all the different states are basically different countries in a way. It was only, they were never even a country. It was just when Britain came along, they were like, yes, this is one country now.
Yeah. They're all the same color. This is a country.
Yeah. It was all different kingdoms.
Yeah, like if you speak to a lot of
different languages and everything.
If you speak to a lot of Punjab guys, they'll all say that they're not, that they'll always say that they're Punjabi, not Indian. You know, so
that's interesting.
So there's clearly
different religion, different language.
Yeah.
Sikhs, well, right? It's like Serbians. Bro, I'm Serbian. It's like, all right, when's the last time you went to Serbia? It doesn't exist.
Oh, isn't that Persia?
Persia, not Serbia.
Persia,
I'm
not Serbia.
Moron.
I was like, what the fuck is he on?
I'm stupid.
I was
that's
like, what
dumbest.
The fuck?
Dude, I thought Luke
too much time in the Gold Coast.
Dumbest thing throughout this podcast. It's me. Surprise.
Yes.
I'm so psyched about that. Don't worry. I will top you in the next 20 minutes, I'm sure.
That is a thing growing up with Wogs, being Greek, hanging out with Armenians and other groups like that. They would always say, I'm this person when that country no longer exists. Like it was always Persians and Iran. If you spoke to a Lebo, they'd always, you'd say to him, oh, you're an Arab. And they'd say, no, I'm a Phoenician, bro. I'm like, what the fuck is
that? But fair enough, though. It's almost like, it's almost like culture is more important than country.
Mm, that's
really.
Oh, yeah.
How would
like, if I live in America, I'm still going to be Australian for sure. Mm. You know, if you move to China, even if you're there for fucking 60 years, you're still where you came from and your culture and where you grew up. And that's probably how you're going to raise your kids. And those are the types of friends you're going to chase because that's what's familiar and comfortable.
I think people just do whatever they identify more with, because it sometimes happens the reverse, in which like, you know, you speak to like an Uber driver sometimes and then they'll be like, yeah, I'm Australian. I came here 13 years ago.
And Luke's always like, no, you're not, mate. Get the fuck out.
No, but that's the thing. Sometimes like everyone, you know, they've been here for 13 years, they might be 40, 50, they've lived 30 years of their life or whatever in another country, and they still consider themselves Australian because it's just their life is better here, or whatever their circumstances might be, for whatever reason, they're like, no, I feel like I'm Australian now, which is like some people it's not, it's the reverse. It's like, it's just whatever culture they fit in more, I guess.
How would we define Australian culture? Like, is it typified
taking
by brown cardigan?
It's
taking
just like showing off overseas. Just being fucking idiots collectively and all going, oh, that was fucking stupid. Anyway, next. That's
this is Australian culture in like half a sentence. Oi, look at this.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
That's why people like us, but then people hate us.
Yeah.
You know what it is? It's taking nothing seriously except sport.
Yeah.
Yeah. True. Speaking of sport, how are you feeling about the NRL coming back now?
How are they? Are they doing that island shit?
They've had a few plans. So one plan was to have separate conferences. So you put half.
I'm running to the bathroom. If you guys are going to talk about rugby, one second.
Rugby league. Got to get it right. So they're going to do conferences. They're going to put either two or four conferences where they take half the teams and a limited amount of support staff with them and put them in a small city. So they were talking about Gladstone in Queensland or one of the New South Wales regional cities. And then they have a conference system. So every team will play each other once and then there'll be a grand final. There won't be any crowds at the games. Now, I was skeptical about not having crowds at the games, but in round two, they didn't have crowds at the game. It was still pretty good to watch because...
But I've seen NRL crowds. They haven't been having crowds at those games in fucking years.
They don't have crowds anyway.
It's about the same.
It doesn't matter. Exactly.
It was weird for AFL.
I hope it does. But I don't know if it will. They're talking about May 28th. And that's
there's
quite
no
soon.
Way.
Yeah.
Especially not New South Wales.
Yeah.
I doubt it. I highly doubt it. But look, I hope it does.
Okay, so let's assume that there's no AFL or NRL until maybe August.
Are you ready?
What are they?
Are you ready?
Do?
Two words. Marble racing.
Yes.
get on this shit, man. It's called Gels Marble Racing. It's a YouTube channel, and this guy runs a full ESPN quality marble racing league in his basement. There's teams, there's different events, there's the Olympics, there's the Marbula One, which is like a track event, like the Formula One. Yes. It's great. And there's sand events, off-road.
He's the coach of every team.
Yeah, yeah, little marbles, and it's all completely random because it's just done on it's completely random because it's like different colored marbles. They're all a team, and he just has a little contraption that opens up. They all start rolling. So it's he has no control over it, and he does all their scores, the stats, it's so best times, world records. It's crazy. It's really good. It's if you went like a night of just like with you know with your housemates or whatever, just chilling. It's a good time.
It doesn't sound exciting when you explain it, but if you watch just one,
pick a team, watch one, and by the second race, you'll be yelling at the TV. And like, dude, you'll be surprised how much the lead changes. Like, depending on the trajectory of the bounce off the walls and stuff that it gets, the lead changes all the time. The sprint events, it's great.
So what's the name of this guy's channel?
It's called Gels Marble Racing. So J-E-L-L-E-S.
He gets millions on every upload.
Jesus. There's like millions of people follow this league now. It blew up since the isolation thing because there's no live sport. I think that was a bit of a push. Lad Bible started posting about it and stuff. I found out about it recently.
Or do other people come and race their marbles?
I think it's just him. Like he's the
coach. There's no humans in the event. It's like this fake world where he has marbles in the stands watching and all the security guards are little marbles. So all he does is commentate.
Imagine being this guy 6 months ago, imagine, or whenever he started this, like 3 years ago, telling people, yeah, I'm just going to start a channel where I race marbles and it'll be a really big sport one day and just being laughed at. And now look at him.
I can't remember what channel it might have been, Yahoo or Seven or something. For April Fools, they posted a joke saying that he'd signed an exclusive.
It was Optus Sport.
Yeah, like a huge company. That's how big it is.
I would recommend starting at the Marble Olympics in 2019. It's a great 17 event lineup if you want a big night. There's underwater racing, dude. It gets fucking elaborate.
So this guy has been doing this before any of this started.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like even in the last 2 weeks, he's gained about 250K subscribers, but I'll go back to his first upload. I reckon he's been doing it for about a year, about 2 years, I think.
Okay. So
that's not very long.
Anyone listening, it's called Gels Marble Runs.
Yes, Gels Marble Runs, sorry.
And that's J-E-L-L-E apostrophe S.
Would highly recommend.
Fuck, man. Look at the views on some of these videos.
They got millions of views. And, like, it's just a full league. And he premieres the events and people go, I would say that's the solution. But in regards to your question, that's where I'm going for live sport now. Lewis has never been interested, and Neil's probably just crying because there might be.
I'm into marble racing because it's very small and fiddly. That's what I'm about.
What are you doing now, Lewis, that you can't go into the Warhammer store?
I never really went in.
All right, you guys talk about Warhammer now. I'm going to go pee.
I was bummed because there's a really good store in Frankston that's run by a guy I went to high school with. Really? So he has my dream job if comedy didn't work out, is running one of those stores. He's got it, but they're all closed down now. What's really interesting, actually, is that, it's not interesting at all because it's about small plastic toy soldiers, but the whole Games Workshop business is a England-based business, and they've shut down even their online stores because they must have all their shipping systems in England. So they... at what you would think would be an incredible time for their business because it's an at-home solo thing, they're fucked. They can't even ship out stuff.
Wow. I feel like I had a mate mention this. I got a good friend of ours, Aaron, and he's a developer and he's really into Warhammer, like really into it. He's got a glass cabinet at their house. I've seen like all the Marines that he's painted and whatnot. It's so intricate. Like, he's really fucking good at it. And he's been telling me that, like, he's been, because he's a developer and he's got this business on the side that basically pays him away, just some software company for gyms, which is currently fucked because all the gyms are closed. He's making some app around not card games, but turning these sort of games digital. There's some sort of element where you need to do calculations or something, and he's using an app. Normally you'd use like a calculator or something. I have to get him to explain it better, but it's definitely a world, that's for sure. Like it's
It can get super intricate. It's probably something like a calculator of like, if this guy has an armor score of this,
that
guy has a weapon score of that, and you roll this, how much damage does it do, or some bullshit like that. I haven't played the tabletop for years. I just paint and read.
What
look on Neil's face is what my brain is doing. I should have taken a longer piss.
Neil's like, oh fuck, I'm still here. I should have gone to the bathroom.
Taking me to rugby, now we're into my area.
Taking a dump.
What have we all been watching?
Neil will be talking about meditation next, and we'll all have to wee.
What's
release? The cathartic release.
Now,
get rid of that urine.
Speaking of Joel's marble runs, what have we been watching content-wise on YouTube, on Netflix?
I smashed through Tiger King like everybody else.
Yeah.
Very good.
It was so overrated. I didn't like it at all.
Did you finish
Everyone's obsessed. 5 episodes and then I just couldn't go anymore.
Oh, really? I was going to say, once you get to episode 3, it gets crazy. But if you've passed 3, I guess it's just not for you.
Yeah.
I think because I went into it with such high expectations because everyone's talking about how good it is.
I went in low because everyone was talking about how good it was.
It's good. I should have done that. But I didn't. No, it just wasn't for me.
What about you, Luke?
At the start,
I haven't been like, I didn't watch Tiger King or anything. I've been trying to do two things. I've been rewatching some classics. Like I've started watching Community again. That's a banger. I think I'm going to do The Office next again because that's my favorite show of all time. And then I've also been trying to watch classic films that I've never seen. So I watched Ferris Bueller's Day Off. I'd never seen it before.
Okay.
The other night.
I couldn't finish it.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Fucking hated it.
Yeah, it's not that good.
It's not that great. I think it's an overrated film.
I'm just going to try and do stuff like that. Just like, I've never seen Titanic. I probably won't get that bored, but
yeah, it's all right.
Titanic's
I've just never
good.
Seen some bangers. I've never Titanic's seen Pulp Fiction either. I want to watch Pulp Fiction, actually.
That's a good film.
I reckon you'd like that.
Probably. That's what I'm going to do. Just go through Netflix and just watch some ones where I often get lost in conversation or pop culture references because I don't understand it.
Yeah, my partner, she made a jar of movies series that she's never seen that we've got to watch over the next like few weeks or months.
Wow, that's peak girlfriend, isn't it?
It
How
is.
Long have you guys been dating? 11 years?
A jar.
12 years.
See, I didn't know that. I just knew that from her inventing that activity. That's like 10 years in.
But like she hasn't even like committed to it. Like she pulled out one. We watched Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels. She's like, oh yeah, I have seen this and I didn't like it. And she finished after 20 minutes and we're like, okay, let's go
to
the next one.
She just wanted to make the jar, bro. That was the activity.
That's literally it. But she hasn't seen I can't believe it. She hasn't seen any of the original Star Wars. She hasn't seen Lord
that's
of the Rings.
That's weird to miss that or to avoid that.
Yeah.
Really is the word.
Yeah. She hasn't seen Lord of the Rings.
Really?
You can give
weird. Wow.
Yeah,
man, Lord of the Rings doesn't get good until halfway through the second one. Battle of Helm's Deep is when
Helm's
shit starts
Deep
to peak.
Is
first
amazing.
One sucks. But the Hobbit is better.
Hobbit's rubbish. The Hobbit
Are you
is
kidding?
Fucking McDonald's.
Then the first one, The Fellowship of the Ring, is oh man, that is a snooze fest. A lot of fucking walking for one film.
I'd agree with that.
That is the plot of the film. Let's go that way.
There's a lot of walking.
The second film, it starts to pick up. Like I would say the second film, it starts to get good. I would almost argue that the second film is better because the third film is sort of obvious what's going to happen.
Yes, Two Towers.
The one was the best.
Yeah, definitely the best. Helm's Deep was great,
battle
especially
scenes.
For its time.
Yeah.
When bloody, what's his face? Legolas goes down the stairs on the shield.
Oh,
awesome.
So that Legolas Gimli rivalry gets me fucking going every time.
So I got Lauren to make I got her to download, no, not download, look at the IMDb top 100 and just go through that list. And I said to her, look, you just need to watch whatever's on this.
I'm embarrassed how many in the top 10 I haven't seen. That's what made me realize I need to start watching these. Like, I've never seen Godfather.
Okay, so let's go through these. Tell me if you guys have seen them or not. Okay, so what do we think's number one for a start?
Shawshank.
Yeah, Shawshank. She hadn't seen Shawshank.
Wow. That's a great movie.
How did you not catch that on Channel 9?
I know. Like, it's fucking weird, huh? Okay, so
you've got to be watching 9 Gem.
All Channel 9 is the two variations of Willy Wonka on repeat. It's either the Johnny Depp version or the original, and that's it.
Johnny Depp version is weird. The death of Australian mainstream media. It's time to put it out of its misery. Stop.
All right, so tell me... Just shout out if you haven't seen any of these films. This is the top 10. So we've got Shawshank, The Godfather, Part 2 of The Godfather. Jesus, you haven't seen The Godfather.
I've seen Part 2.
I watched Part 1. I don't think I understood it. It was too... I couldn't remember all of the faces in it. I might be autistic.
The Dark Knight, 12 Angry Men.
I haven't seen that.
I haven't seen that, actually. That what the fuck is that about?
It's a good... It's a classic. It's black and white, I think.
Ah, okay. I think I know
it's
this.
It's about there's a jury of 12 men and all of them think the person on trial is guilty except one guy, and that one guy slowly convinces all of them.
I've seen...
It kind of just sounds like a
different film.
I watched that in English. That's where it's from.
Isn't that also another, like, Kane something?
Oh, Citizen Kane. No, that's different. I haven't seen that. That's a classic.
Citizen Kane isn't in the top 10. That's interesting.
Is Citizen Kane about a jury, though? Or have I got these titles mixed up?
No, you're mixed up.
This whole time I thought Citizen Kane was the one Neil was just talking about.
No, Citizen Kane's about some rich bloke. Okay.
They all were back then.
Schindler's List. Has anyone seen that?
Banger.
I've seen it in high school.
That's a very fucking good film. Lord of the Rings.
I can't believe they just put that on when we're in like year 8. Wow. Just on the projector in history.
But any movie that you watch at school is just ruined by the crazy amounts of analysis you have to do.
Yeah. I know. Just like people getting shot through fucking floorboards.
Why was the girl wearing a red dress? Write 3 pages.
Yeah.
Well, actually, the film was in black and white.
Costume design.
Luke obviously wasn't paying attention in media class.
Shawshank Redemption in English, and it just ruined it. It was actually that good film that I can still watch it now and not have post-traumatic stress.
All right, number 10 is Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring. Luke's most hated version. Ooh, yeah. And then how's this, right?
10.
How's this? You got Fellowship of the Ring, then Two Towers at number 15, but Return of the King, was number 7. So they did number 3, 1, and 2 as like, this is the top in IMDb. What the fuck?
Return of the King won the most awards. It won all the Oscars and stuff. So
because they CGI'd the shit out of it.
Yeah, true. But back then, that was like the cool thing.
That was
thing
the tits.
They just didn't know how to end that movie. So they were like, oh, they're fucked. How are they going to get out of this one? Oh, Ghost Army.
Yeah.
And then it's like, all right, cool.
What do you mean they didn't know how to end it? It's a book, bro. Yeah, they do it in the book says.
And it's
so
obvious.
How do we end this one?
But it was so obvious that the author just couldn't be fucked. Like, the author just gave up.
Oh, Luke.
That Tolkien chick was like, oh, was it a dude?
Chick.
I told you I'd say something dumb.
There we go, the dumbest thing.
Fuck. This is the clip. This is the clip.
Oh, I've been redeemed.
Fuck me. Pulp Fiction, number 8. The Good, Bad, and the Ugly, number 9.
I haven't seen
The Good, Bad, and the Ugly.
Yeah, that's that Western with, what's his name? The old one.
Much to my dad's disgust, I haven't seen that.
Clint Eastwood?
No. Yeah, it's got Clint Eastwood in it, but it was written by... It was the first spaghetti Western, I think. So the writer was Luciano Vincenzoni, whatever his name is. yeah, that was, I think, the one that made Clint Eastwood. Anyway, there's that, Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring, Fight Club, Forrest Gump, Inception, Star Wars.
I haven't seen Forrest Gump.
Star Wars Episode 5, The Empire Strikes Back. Interesting. Yeah.
I'll pay that. I think that's the best.
The Matrix, Goodfellas. Goodfellas is a good film.
I'd just like to interrupt saying I was more of a Return of the Jedi fan. Big Ewok fan over here.
Is this podcast episode's turning
into good.
Mystical, huh?
Hey, man, what the fuck else are we going to talk about? Coronavirus!
I mean, I watched the Louis C.K. special. That's what I've been watching.
Oh, yeah.
How good was it? I really liked it.
Loved it.
Oh, I love the way he dealt with it as well.
Yeah, very, very good.
When Aziz did his special, it was so... I did not like it at all.
Nah.
But Louis dealt with it so well.
That's what Frenchie said.
Just classic Louis. It was hilarious.
Really good.
I've got to ask you guys before we get into these rapid-fire questions to finish off. What do you all want when all this is all said and done? We're 12 months from now. We've probably gotten the coronavirus vaccine. What do you want to say after this period? What do you want to have done? What do you want to do?
Go to the gym. That's the first thing I'll be doing.
Nice.
Do some.
Lewis, have you been exercising? Nah.
Yeah. Doing it every day. Doing bodyweight workouts and stuff.
Okay. Because I thought you were the same. Yeah, but Lewis hasn't embraced the world gym. See, dude, the world gym is fucking thriving right now. It's the only gym that's open.
Mate, and you shouldn't be out. You should be in. You'd be at home.
Yeah. Should be the inside world gym.
Yeah, but like it's popping out there at the moment, man. People are just getting out there, doing their best. And you know what? It's going to convert a lot of people. I reckon gyms will lose business at the end of this.
Yeah, I think so.
Probably, yeah.
Neil's confused.
I reckon a big portion of gym memberships.
I've started a revolution. Clearly, it hasn't hit Sydney yet, okay, because the World Gym is like, Lewis is more of a gym kind of guy. He pays like an idiot to work out. And I just get out there in the world and do my own thing. Yeah. And currently, that's
the biggest argument I have against the World Gym is when Luke and I took a photo, both of us had our shirts off. Luke got bullied. I was praised.
No, that was pre-World Gym. That was before the World Gym started. That's why World Gym started.
After quarantine, we'll do another one.
I'm getting actually really fit. I've been running like 4 or 5 times a week. And one good thing that's come out of this is I'm actually the fittest I've been in ages because I have nothing else to do. And it's the only opportunity to leave the house.
What do you want to do, Luke?
Like career-wise or my body?
Anything, man. Like,
I want to be peaking.
I'm with Neil. I just want to be able to go to a gym or go to a restaurant.
Oh, you know what? This is not going to bode well for me. But, I'm so excited for that first beer on tap. It is. Yeah, Lewis knew. Dude, when I walk into
I'm with you.
Yeah, when I walk into that first pub with the boys and then I see, like, draft on tap and it just, like, there's a nice little head on the top.
What are you going to get? What's the beer you want on tap?
I think I'm just going to get a draft just because it's simple and it's just like there's something that the simplicity of having something that tastes like urine that you've been missing is I can't wait.
I would get a jug all to myself.
Yeah. I could second that.
Pubs are going to get fucking smashed when everything opens up. It's going to be truly incredible weekend to be on the town.
I hope that happens, but they're not. I was thinking about this, right? Like, if they were just to say, all right, everything reopens on this weekend, that would be the most epic weekend in human history. But
then everyone
they're not
going to
do
that.
They're going to be like, all right, the pub's open, but only 10 people allowed. And then a few weeks later, all right, 20 people allowed. That they'll do that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Probably, yeah.
What about you?
And that won't have anything to do with the virus. They'll just to prevent king hits.
Lewis, what about you? What do you want to do?
Man, I want to get back to work. I want to get on stage. I want to perform. I want to meet the people afterwards, shake hands. I want to do my job.
Well, how's this for you? I've been thinking about this. How long until we start shaking hands again?
I don't know. I bought an N95 mask. I'm going to be wearing that regularly whenever I do leave the house now. I decided I was like, oh fuck, if I bump into a fan, am I going to take a photo? And no, I might.
I've been I took a social distancing photo at the shops the other day with someone. They're like, can I grab a photo? And we just took this photo where we're standing 1.5 meters apart, just doing
That's
this.
Good.
And it was super awkward.
That's cute.
All right. Let's jump into these rapid fire questions. We'll start with Neil, finishing with Lewis. First one, morning and evening routine. What are you doing at the moment, Neil?
Hasn't changed too much. I'm not like a go-getter. When I wake up, I'm not like running and, you know, doing all this crazy stuff in the morning. I usually just meditate at the start of the day, ease into my day. And then I'm most productive in the afternoon.
Yeah, dude, Neil is like an old man. Neil has a fucking garden that he maintains like on the regular.
Lauren was commenting that on the Jordan and Neil podcast, how nice your garden is inside your house.
It's fucking beautiful.
Yeah,
it is actually. I take a lot of pride in that garden. And evening, well, like the last 1 hour is like my wind down time, but I'm usually, I'm still working pretty late into the evening. Like I'm sometimes working up to 9, even 10 p.m.
I've been working till like 1 a.m. It's fucked.
Yeah. Yeah, I've not been sleeping well. I don't know about you
no,
guys.
No, but it's not good. Like my sleeping pattern's just fucked.
Yeah, I've...
Yeah, I think we're all in that same boat.
Yeah. What about you, Luke? What's sort of your morning, evening routine?
Well, yeah, as I was just saying, my sleeping pattern's pretty out of whack. I've been going to bed at like after pretty much like 2 every night.
Jesus.
And then I wake up at like 10, 11 and then I just start doing work again. And then I usually run about 5 p.m., 4 or 5 p.m. So I take like a halfway break during the day and then I have dinner and then I do some more work after dinner.
Damn. Lewis?
It's not a very good schedule.
I'm dealing with this really well. Cause I've moved out. I'm trying to set my habits in my new space. When you move into a new space is the best time to set your habits, I think. So, for the past 2 weeks anyway, I've wake up at 8 a.m. I have breakfast. I watch the news and then I write. And then I'm usually filming or doing shit like this, interviews, podcasts. And then I'll send off whatever I've filmed to editor and then I'll do editing myself. And then, yeah, like Luke, pretty much just working. Oh, I do a workout in the morning as well. But then otherwise, as soon as all that morning shit's done, I'm just filming, editing, writing because I'm trying to make the most of it. This is could be the only time of our lives where we have to be at home for 8 months minimum.
Yeah.
Trying to utilize it, I suppose.
Yeah, trying to make the most out of it. That's a good point. All right. Last question, starting with you, Neil. What's been the best $200 purchase that's helped during this isolation period?
That's very specific. What does it have to be exactly $200?
$200 or less. Could be a plant. Could be a cat.
Come back to me because I'm just trying to think what I've even bought in this isolation period. Because knowing that my revenue's decreased, I've been trying to be quite frugal and not just buying. I'm doing my shopping and all that. But
what about you, Luke?
Yeah, I've been avoiding the same thing. I've been trying to. I feel like we don't have a lot of money, man. You're like, what $200 should have you bought? Well. Fucking nothing.
But was
I can't
saying,
afford it.
Was there saying that you purchased before this?
No, really I have bought one thing in isolation, and I guess it's to kind of connect with people more / to play because I realized I was playing video games more because there's not a lot else to do. And it's also how I catch up with my brother and stuff, like in a few mates. We just get on, and instead of like Zooming each other, we'll just play games while we're chatting about our days and stuff. So I bought new gaming headphones that have a proper mic on them. That's what I bought. It was like $80, I think.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I saw Meg.
I've got one now. This was something I bought last year, but I'm so glad I have it. I've got a Kindle and
yes!
All the bookstores closed.
My brother!
Thank God that I actually have a Kindle because you can't go to bookstores right now. I think libraries are closed.
My
too,
mum
so
is still I'm working in a bookstore. That. It's insane.
Yeah, some local stores are allowed to stay open.
I don't know why it's still open. It's bizarre.
I
guess no one goes there anyway, so they're not worried about...
I would second that one. I bought a bunch of books like probably before, like maybe November last year. And like, I normally read them and get through them during a year. But now, because I've got fuck all to do, I'm reading a shitload. So that's been pretty nice. I'm getting bored of Netflix and whatnot. So that was handy. What about
I
you?
I still haven't hit reading level of boredom.
Lewis?
Animal Crossing and Afterpay shares.
Okay. Animal Crossing. What the fuck
Animal
is that?
Animal Crossing's so good. It's such a... It's a good, relaxed game. It's just you have a fucking island and you take care of it, and that's the whole game. You have villages. Me and my girl are playing it together.
Is it like a PC game?
No, it's on Switch. It's like... it's. You know, there's like a game like Call of Duty where you've got to be hyper-focused and you're fucking playing the shit out of it and you're trying to be good and you'll get angry if you lose. It's not like that. It's just like it's an island game and it rewards you for just checking in every day and maybe playing for an hour.
Right. So like The Sims.
Shit happens. There's seasons. Yeah, it's kind of like The Sims, but like cutesy. It's just okay. Fun and relaxing.
Nice. I like that. Yeah, Lauren's gone deep on The Sims. I think it's like $15 at the moment. She's been spending like 2-3 hour periods just ridiculous time spent on the fucking Sims.
Do you reckon she's doing it to virtually live another life that she is not, that she can't live right now?
She said that. She said like it's, she's an introvert. So she's always liked that sort of stuff. Like she was addicted to The Sims when she was like 13.
She's just doing normal shit, like just like going to the movies in The Sims, going like this is crazy.
I think she's obsessed with building the house at the moment. She's like just gotten into it. So she's had it for like a week.
So you reckon she's learning. So then as soon as this is over, you guys are going to start real production.
Well, we're getting married in October. Well, we're meant to be getting married.
Yeah.
I
have no idea. I have no idea what's going to happen, to be very honest with you. I hope, we'll still be able to have something, but I highly doubt it. And having a Greek family, it's going to be not allowed to have a wedding unless you can properly hug and kiss people, because my family is going to pretty much flaunt any rules that exist around that. There'll be no 1.5 meter distance.
Put a few years into a jar and pull one out.
So are you going to wait like 2 years to do it if that's what it takes to get everyone there, or are you just going to have a small ceremony and then celebrate it later?
Well, we spoke to the venue. We've paid for half the venue, so we have to have it at that venue, and they've got a minimum of 90 people. So if it's not in October, it'll be March or April next year.
Right.
So, yep. It's not fun, but it is what it is, I guess. Look, guys, thank you so much for coming on. Where can the audience find you on the interwebs, on Instagram and whatnot? Neil, we can start with you.
Just Neil Kalhacker on TikTok. That's all
That's
I want to plug right now.
The first thing you plug.
Yeah, man of priority.
Just quickly, Neil, can you say the N-word as an Indian guy on TikTok?
Depends on the context.
Okay.
But I think there are situations where you can, yeah.
Okay.
Like yesterday?
It's just whether or not it's deemed appropriate. But yeah, I think my conscience is clear with the video I posted yesterday. I think that context is appropriate to say it.
Okay.
Just sort of double check. We'll see what happens. But
Luke, what about you?
Wait, does that mean I can say the N-word on TikTok if Neil can? Or am I too white?
Mate, you can go for it. You can do whatever you want.
I reckon... do it. See what happens.
Mate, cool. Say it on this podcast. Go for it.
Yeah, go for it. Please.
So you can get, just follow me on TikTok. I want to get bigger than Neil. That's about it. Yeah. Okay.
Lewis?
check out my podcast, Spearhead Sundays. Comes out every Sunday. And on this Sunday, I'll be saying the N-word. So check it out.
All right. Thanks, guys. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, you, mate. Talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening in to this episode. If you like it, do leave us a written review on your podcast app, as it helps us continue going on a weekly basis, and we do love reading those reviews as well. If you want the show notes, you can find that below, or with our previous guest at neural.com/podcast. That's N-E-U-R-A-L.com alle.com/podcasts to watch the full video, search Uncommon Show on YouTube, and to keep up to date with behind the scenes and clips for the show, you can find us at Uncommon_show on Instagram. But until next time, guys, thank you so much for listening.